I suggest, as we start here, we don't let our emotions rule us, but we should let our Lord rule us, the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith. Let's read from John chapter 15, from verse 6. It says this, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt." Oh, I don't like that. I don't like the way that sounds. Oh, no. I don't like the way that sounds. Does that mean that those ones who aren't really following him, they're going to be gathered together? They're going to be gathered in a bunch, and then they're going to be burnt. I don't like the way it sounds, though. It sounds a bit strong, doesn't it? Does it sound a bit strong? It sounds a bit strong. Maybe, is there some way around it? Maybe we could find something else. Is there another way to look at it? Or do we have to, as believers, just accept what it's saying is what it's saying? You see, listen, we live in an age where relativism reigns. So what that means is that truth is regarded as relative. Your truth for you, my truth for me. You think that, I think this. This Bible isn't open to that relativism. This is truth. The man who spoke these words identified himself as the truth. Not a relative truth. Not a truth that, you know, might be some weeks and other weeks when it's slightly different. No, the truth. And that his words abide. And they're eternal. And so now, as unfashionable as it might be, as out of step with society that it might be, we have to embrace that truth and say, I don't care what you think. I don't care if there's 10,000 people, 10 million people believing something else. I am believing what the Bible says. I'm not interested in other people's opinion. I'm interested in the opinion and the words of the one that I'm reading now. They're in red, folks. They're the words of Jesus. If I take a coin out of my pocket, his date is, it's his date. It's from Jesus. The central figure in human history, it's Jesus. It's Jesus who we follow. It's Jesus whose life has given us. And it's Jesus' words that we now read. And Jesus proclaim himself as the truth. And he says this, if you abide in me, in verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Okay. We decided last week, and we touched on it the week before, that memorizing scripture is a key towards letting the word dwell inside us. Memorizing the scriptures. Reading the scriptures is good. Studying the scriptures is better. But in both cases, the word can be outside, and we're trying to get it. But when we memorize scripture, the word is abiding on the inside of us. And that's what it's meaning for the word to abide in us. It's already in me. I'm not fumbling through looking. It's in me. His word is alive and it's in me. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, from verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now think on this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. What's the counsel of the ungodly? Well, the counsel of the ungodly is anything that is outside of God's will. So anything that opposes the scripture is the counsel of the ungodly. Anything. Anything that opposes this scripture is the counsel of the ungodly, my friends. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be blessed in your life? Do not listen to that counsel. Don't follow that counsel. Don't listen to that counsel. Don't let that counsel shape your thinking. Nor stands in the path of sinners, shares space with sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's so easy today to throw scorn and doubt. It's the easiest thing in the world, folks. To be scornful and to be doubt-filled. So easy. And so many people are that way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Who should be like that? The one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice, it's his law he's meditating day and night, not in my law, not in my family's law, not in my culture's law. Oh, I come from Wales. We have a Welsh heritage and a Celtic culture. Big deal. I'm not meditating on that culture. No, friends. I'm meditating on a higher reality, on a supernatural level. I'm not interested in superficial things, foolishness. I'm interested in the eternal words of Scripture. I'm interested in a culture that is godly, based around the Holy Scriptures, formed over millennia. This is our culture. This is who we are. Listen, my friends, who are the chosen people of God? You and I, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are in the family of God. You have been metamorphosized from the old person that you were. And the New Testament distinguishes only two types of people. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, listen, the world is trying to separate people into groups. Fracture society. Okay? Separate society. Have a little group for this. Have a little group for that. Oh, we come from Spain. We're all going to be in the Spanish group. or we're all Celts, we're going to be all in the Celts group, or we're all in the group that's over here, or we're marginalized as well, we're over here, we're going to be marginalized people over here. Listen, we're marginalized from society. We're called the Christians. We're known as the Way in the Scriptures. We're described as aliens to this place. You and I are aliens in this place. We're aliens because we're just passing through. This is the reality that we have. And this is why we must be together. This is why we must love one another. This is why we must support one another and encourage one another, love one another, and be there for one another. And praying for one another. And looking out for one another. And just because we're the family of God. That's who we are. Look what he says here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice that. He meditates day and night. Well, let me think of this. Let me ask you a question now. What is biblical meditation? What is it? We've talked last week, and we started on the week before, about studying the Scriptures. Some of us have decided to read one Scripture verse 7 times a day, every day of the week, and over the course of 12 months, we're going to then remember 12 Scripture verses. And that way, we'll have 12 Scripture verses dwelling inside of us. 12 more than we have right now. For those of you who think, well, that's not much, I think it's a lot. I think it's significant. A month, one verse for a month, I think it's a really significant thing. But you know, people have different abilities and levels and desires and things. And if you could do one a week, I mean, that would, 52 verses in a year? Wow. I think that could be done. But that's something, isn't it? The word dwelling in us, 52 verses more this time next year. Do you think that's going to make a difference, girls? I think it would. I think that would make a real difference. It's going to make a difference, isn't it? 52 verses in it, but 12 would make a great difference. I mean, 12 would just be. And I'm going to show you this morning, just briefly now, how and why that's going to make a difference. So that we can really get to the crux of this and take this on board. Because I want us to take something very practical with us today as we leave this place. Now, I should just say something, basically what biblical meditation isn't, first of all, just quickly, you know, because when you hear the word meditation, some people think of yoga classes, they think of, you know, someone making funny sounds, and the word meditation has got connotations with Eastern non-Christian religions and the New Age movement in our society. Obviously, biblical meditation isn't anything like that. In those systems, people are encouraged to empty their mind. Well, biblical meditation is the exact opposite. We're encouraged to fill our mind. It's diametrically opposed to that other type of meditation. But it's not filling our mind with just anything. It's filling our mind with the living words of God. Joshua 1:8 promises us something beautiful. Let's just read it quickly. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. There it is again, day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Now, the Hebrew word meditate there means to murmur. It could be in pleasure or in anger, but to murmur, to mutter, to repeat. That's what it is to murmur, to utter. And to meditate on God's word, it's a question of thinking about it over and over again, filling our minds and our mouths with that word. And so biblical meditation is about thinking, about pondering, meditating, speaking it out. We read in the Old Testament, King David, in Psalm 63:6, he says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he instructs him, 1 Timothy 4, let me read it. It says from verse 15, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourselves and those who hear you." Meditate on these things. So, to meditate on the scripture, to really allow the scripture to come in, we pick up a Bible verse. And this is the exercise that I want us all to do. Let's turn to a Bible verse. Let's turn to John 10. Let's turn to John 10:10. And let's read it. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, what happens is when we pick a verse of scripture and we decide to meditate on it, to remember it and meditate, the Holy Spirit starts to quicken it to us. Does anyone know what I mean? He starts to really make it come alive to us. And he starts to speak to us through what we're reading. So rather than rushing on, if John 10:10 is our chosen scripture, and maybe, you know, maybe there's a situation that you're dealing with, it could be about health, it could be about finances, it could be about direction. And what happens is we take the concordance out, we have a look in the index at the back of the Bible, let's say, and we find various scriptures on whatever subject it is we want to study, and we start looking those verses up, and then we apply this method to those verses, okay? So watch what we do. This is what we do. We emphasize a different word each time we read the verse, okay? And so let's read this now, and the first time we're going to emphasize the word thief. The thief. And we're not rushing. We're taking our time. We're leaving space. The Lord to speak to us. The thief. Now, I'll tell you what's coming to my mind right now as we're doing this. I'm thinking of protesters that I've seen on the news this week that were marching down the street. They were seemingly protesting about something, but then they were smashing windows and stealing things. I'm thinking, that's strange. They say they're protesting about one thing, but they seem interested in stealing things. Ah, the thief, okay. Okay, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill. Yes, those people were making death threats. Interesting. And to destroy. Yes, there was a lot of destruction with them. There was a lot of destruction going on. Jesus says, because Jesus spoke these words, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What's happening is, I've got two halves of the verse that are shaped now in my mind. Are you with me so far? Got two halves of the verse. I've got the first half, and now the second half is formulating. The first half is about the thief. The second half is about Jesus, who says, I. Well, let me read it again. Maybe if I was doing this on my own, I'd spend more time, and maybe I'd reflect on the words in between. But just for the sake of time this morning, we'll go through the verse quickly, and we'll go to the I in the second sentence of the verse. But we'll read the verse from the beginning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, this time I've read it, and I'm thinking to myself, don't be surprised. Hey, that's what they're going to do. You know, don't be surprised. That's why they come. That's why. But now I'm going to stress, I. And it's Jesus who's saying this. And I think of Jesus. And he's saying, I. So this is very powerful. Have come, past tense. I have come. This is why he came. That they may have life. Who's they? We who believe in him. I'm part of the they. That's me. That means me. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Oh, Jesus has come that I may have life more abundantly. That's his life. Jesus has come that I may have life more abundantly. I'm not going to shrink away from those words. When you start reading those words and you spend some time going over that verse and over it and over it and remembering it, and now you can quote it, you know, without looking at it, it's dwelling in you. Oh, it starts to dwell. It's just residing inside. And now what happens, you could be driving in the car and that verse is there, and you could be thinking of that verse, and that verse is just coming up, and you're just, you're meditating day and night on his word. See, you can't read the Bible when you're driving the car. But if his word is abiding in you, then you can recall it to your mind. and it'll be day and night then. And you just bring it up, and you just bring that word up, and you just think, yes, Lord, yes, yes. And I tell you what happens, that one verse will take you on a journey. Because what will happen is it'll say to you, the next time you read it, and the next time you read it, and then one time you read it, he's going to say, because I've come that you may have abundant life, now I want you to go in this direction. Because you start meditating on abundant life, and now you're thinking, hey, I'm not just an also person in this world. You're not just an also person. You're not just taking a, you know, you are a child of the King. You are royalty. We're not insignificant people on planet Earth. We're the children of God, folks. And God can do great things to those of us who decide to yield to his truth and say, look, I'm ready, Father God. Use me as you want. I yield to you, Lord. Have your way. Take my life, Lord, and just use it. God's going to do some tremendous things in us. And the revelation of some of those things comes from meditating in his word. The word, if you look for a synonym for meditate, you find a word that describes the unction of a cow that eats grass. And the cow eats grass, and it chews the grass. Have you noticed, you look at a cow, most of the time they're chewing. They're always chewing. They're chewing, chewing, chewing. They send the food down into the stomach. It gets mixed around with some enzymes and various things. They send it back up, they chew it some more. They get every bit of goodness out of that grass. Every bit of goodness out of the grass, folks. Now what happens is this. When they're babies, they're on the milk. Why? Because they're not used to chewing. They've not done it before. They're not used to chewing, getting every ounce of goodness out of the grass. Now, God wants us to get every ounce of goodness out of the food that he's provided. And in order to do it, we've got to chew it. We've got to chew it, folks. You can't get it by just reading it once and just moving on. It's too rich. It's just too rich. It's filled with power, potential for us. But we've got to chew it, take it on board, allow it to give us all of whatever it is that God knows that we need. And then that's going to dramatically change the rest of our lives. I spent some time studying and chewing on things like healing. Guess what happened? Many people got healed. I started to believe that God wanted me to prosper. I didn't know that until the Bible told me. I had no idea. I just didn't know. But you start studying, you start chewing on it, and what happens is God starts to speak. He starts to direct. He says, go on, now you do this, you go and do that. Go and do this. He'll give us direction. But he gives us direction through that which we've eaten. We have to feed on his word in order to get direction from his word. But a baby just has the milk. And the milk, you don't need to chew it. The milk just goes down straight. you just gulp it down. But for the real word, the real good food, you've got to just chew it, spend time. Is it making any sense this morning? It's simple, but it'll make a dramatic difference. It's simple. It's nothing particularly profound. But if we do it, it'll make the world a difference. And I want to encourage, I want the best for everyone in this church. I love you. I want the best for you in life. I want the best for your family, your children. I want the best for you. You and me are in the same team, folks. And I want the best for you. And I'm saying this from my heart because I believe in you. And I believe in your potential. And I know that God wants great things for us in our lives. He's going to surprise some of us with what he's going to do. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let's stand. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Praise God. As we close the service, folks, it's good for us to respond to the Lord. Now, if there's something you want to start this morning, maybe it'll be the desire to say, right, I'm going to now employ a study of the word and a meditation on the word, that I'm going to choose a verse of scripture that I need to study at this moment in time that the Lord would lead me to through the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to read it, say, at least 7 times during the course of a day. But I'm going to read it slowly. I'm going to chew on that word. And I'm going to extract every bit of goodness from it as the Lord leads me. And during the course of the next 12 months, I'm going to commit to learning 12 scriptures so that the word of God will dwell in me. If that's you, and a specific desire that perhaps God has spoken to you, I want to invite you to respond to him this morning. Maybe he's spoken to you something else. I want you to respond to him this morning, to give him a chance. And so with that in mind, every eye closed, please. Every eye closed. No one looking around. We don't need to be looking around. Just every eye closed, and we're responding to God. If you want to respond to God this morning and say, yes, that speaks to me this morning. That's a journey I want to take. I want to take on board those things that have been spoken about. Heavenly Father, I say yes to you this morning. If that's you, and you know that God has prompted you and there's something you need to do, put your hand up and respond to him right now. Heavenly Father, you see our response, Lord. Father God, we're so happy that we can yield our lives to you. We're so happy for the word of God to be real to us. Father God, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We say, Lord, help us, Lord, on this journey, that your word would dwell in us. That, Father God, as we live our lives, it'll be not by the standard or the influence of the world, but it'll be by the standard and the influence of you. And that as we speak to people, we will speak oracles of God. We will be speaking God's word to people and to ourselves. I want to say something that I didn't think I was going to say, but let's remain like this. I'm going to say it briefly. Just remain as you are. Some of you have had an internal dialogue taking place, and you've been speaking the wrong things to yourself. You've been speaking the lies of the enemy to yourself. You've been speaking condemnation that others have put on you to yourself. You've been speaking just the enemy's words. They're just lies. People who didn't want the best for you, they spoke words to you, and those words have remained in you, and you've been going over them in your mind. You've been recalling the enemy's words to yourself. You've been having that dialogue with yourself. Let me say this. When you start to meditate on the Word of God, the Word of God will drown out those enemy voices, those lies that were spoken to you, those words that were meant to rob, to kill, to steal from you, those words that have been spoken over your lives by the enemy. Listen, when you start to meditate on the Word of God, it will overpower those words. It will crush those words out of your life, because discernment comes through the Word of God. As the Word of God is let loose inside, the quickening of the Holy Spirit causes that which is true and real to manifest. Paul calls it a renewed mind. And a renewed mind, it leads to accurate self-talk. It leads to meditation on the word that's right. Father God, we come to you, and we don't want to speak the enemy's lies to ourselves. We don't want to speak or remember those words that were meant to cause us harm, to kill, to steal and destroy. But we want to speak those words that bring abundant life and the possibilities that are infinite into our lives. So we commit ourselves to this. Listen, if you want to say no to those enemy voices before God, put up your hand right now. Say no to those voices. Don't be shy. Just put up your hand. You're responding to God. Every eye closed. Father God, you see us responding. We don't want those enemy voices anymore. We reject those enemy voices. Father God, from this moment, we reject those enemy voices. We will not entertain those enemy voices. We will meditate on the Holy Scripture. And we will allow that Holy Scripture to manifest in our mind. That we will think the thoughts of God. That we will be thinking along biblical lines. Thinking that which you have planned for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the great hope and the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and we worship you today.